Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Don Noble, and I just want to talk a little bit first about the organization that you have been the president for 37 years.
Oh, sounds like a long time, doesn't it?
It sounds wonderful. You know, the Maranatha Volunteers International has been coordinating mission trips for more than 45 years. And of those 45 years, you have been at the helm of the leadership. And you mobilize thousands of people to work in countries around the world. And as a result, it transforms the communities in which that work is conducted. So welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's go back 37 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you were a young person or a younger person. You're still young.
Thank you.
And just set the stage as to how God called you into this ministry.
Well, I got a call from the founder, John Freeman, and I was working at a management consulting company in Denver, Colorado. And he called and said that the board of directors for Maranatha had come to the point where they wanted to go from just an occasional project to something more organized, and they'd gotten my name. I have to tell you, I had never heard of Maranatha when he called me, and I had not heard of John Freeman, but he said, we'd like to interview you. I said, okay, that's fine. Send me a ticket. I'm in Colorado. I could probably find some time to come to Michigan and talk to you. He says, oh, no. He says, this is a volunteer operation. You'll have to pay your own ticket.
Oh, wow.
So I says, well, we'll have to see about that. And I says, I can send you a resume if you like, because he had asked for it. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and I didn't think anything more about it. And he called me back after he got it and says, well, we've looked through some of the resumes, and we'd like to talk to you. Please come to Michigan. I said, well, like I said last time, my business doesn't take me to Michigan at this time. If it does, I'll give you a call. Here's the interesting thing that I've hung on to for a lot of years. That very day, I went into my office, and the president of the company called me in, and he says, Don, I need you to go to Michigan. And I said, whoa, now what is happening here? So I went to Michigan and I talked to them, and, you know, cutting long story short.
No, don't cut it short. Well, now you really have me on pins and needles.
Well, I went back and I talked to them, and we agreed that God had started something that he wanted to see make a difference in his work around the world. And so we made an agreement, and I started working with Maranatha, 1982.
So was the model still the Apostle Paul model, where you had to work in the corporate world in order to have an income, and you volunteered for Maranatha?
Well, there's a little bit of that. I worked full-time right from the beginning at Maranatha. The wages were extremely low, so I was dependent on what I had earned in the past, if you understand what I'm saying. But actually, you know, this is our 50th year this year. We're celebrating 50 years. The founders and the original guys that had started working Maranatha started in 1969. And they could begin to see that there was potential here to really make a difference for God. So it wasn't a part-time deal. They wanted it to really take off. So we were working full-time right from the beginning.
So what skills did you bring from your corporate experience to Maranatha?
Well, you know, they were looking for management, and I was working for a management consulting company. The other thing that was interesting, and I'm not sure why it had an impact, but Maranatha started as Maranatha Flights International.
Oh, okay.
Small planes flying, Every project was called a flight. And a lot of construction guys back in the 60s, 70s had airplanes. And they would fly to these different locations. I happened to be a pilot. In fact, I was an Air Force pilot. And maybe that's how they got my name. I don't know. But I suppose it had some bearing on it. But I was committed to seeing God's work go forward. And the whole management arena that I was in, I had been praying that God would give me something else. Because sometimes in the corporate world, it becomes very difficult to have the walk with Christ that you want. And so this seemed like an opportunity for me. It wasn't a financial opportunity, but it was an opportunity to make a difference. So,
praise God. Well, listeners, you can go to www.maranatha.org and see some of the projects that they're doing. You can do it right while we're talking, having this wonderful interview. So as, you know, as organizations grow, they often... there's a cycle. How did you prevent that cycle from happening as far as, you know, an organization will blossom, grow, sometimes it's a real bright flash,
yes,
and then die. But you have this longevity, this stableness. How did you do it with intention, or was just an outgrowth of your management style?
You know, I think it came about, as everything else is done in Maranatha, with God's direct leading. There was times at the beginning when I thought that we would do all the projects that there was in the church, and then I'd go back to doing something else. That's what I thought would happen. But the more I got into it, I realized that there is no end to the demand for churches, schools, water wells, volunteer involvement. I mean, it's just another form of evangelism. So we started forming relationships with church leadership around the world. Right now, we have over 100,000 requests for projects from the World Church.
Wow.
So I don't think we're running out of something to do. It also tells you something about the church. It says there's a need for this.
Yes.
And one of the problems with it is it's expensive. Construction's expensive. So people tend to gravitate to maybe less expensive ministries. They're important, but we try to stay in there, keep the cost as low as you can, but it's still expensive. But
yeah.
I did notice that I wasn't going to run out of projects to do, or we as an organization weren't going to. And volunteers, you know, people love to get involved in mission. Some people say, oh, people don't care about mission anymore. Not true. They do care about mission. They care that the gospel is going to the world. They want to go out there and see it. I mean, you can look at all the pictures you want, but when you're on the ground and you're looking in the eyes of the people, maybe they've prayed 30 years for a church, and you're able to be out there and dedicate it, that you've built it. Now, that's a different deal.
Amen.
It's very impactful in people's lives.
So you brought up something that I don't know really how to word it, but I know at one point the Adventist Church was very organized in their missions, and now they too have backed off, and they have volunteers. They have a volunteer mission service.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that there was a point in time where your project requests dramatically increased?
Well, I think it, you know, God has a plan. And the world is changing. The church is changing. I don't know that it's anything dramatic that anybody did. I think it's just God guiding the world, the church, with his wisdom. And yes, as the church grew, you know, in the last three decades or so, the church has grown a lot around the world. It started.
It has.
It started happening in places where the people are quite poor. If you take a look at the growth patterns, and I do that on a fairly regular basis. I sit on the General Conference Executive Committee, so I hear the reports. And I hear the places that the church has grown so much. We work in places where the numbers are phenomenal. And what do they need? It used to be, in fact, when Neil Wilson was president of the General Conference, he sat me down and says, listen here, Sonny Boy, let me tell you how it works. And I was Sonny Boy, and I was listening. And he said, the local congregations, local conferences, unions, even up to divisions, they're responsible for getting their churches, their schools, all their needs. We give an appropriation, and they're responsible. Well, it got to the point where they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So they had to look outside of themselves. When you have growth like Zambia, you know, million and a quarter people, to Kenya, million members, you know, Africa, you know, 9-10 million members. It's massive. How do you keep up when the people are basically subsistence?
Yes.
They can't do it themselves. They have to have help. Otherwise, they're meeting under trees.
Yes.
And that doesn't work for very long when you're trying to hold people together. Yes. It's and maybe they used to worship that tree. You know, it doesn't work so well.
Yes.
So therein comes all the requests. So I suppose, long answer, coming back around, the growth came as the church started growing in these areas that were very poor.
Yes. Okay, well, we have to take a break right here. But when we come back, I want to talk about all the different projects that Maranatha has done and is continuing to do. We'll be right back.
This is Kim with my daily diary for health class, reporting what I did today to keep myself healthy. Today I ate an apple. Yes, yes, I know. Eating an apple each day doesn't make you healthy. But when I ate that apple, I didn't eat something that would make me unhealthy. I didn't eat candy. I didn't eat something with a lot of fat in it, like a piece of meat or foods made with a bunch of butter or oil. I didn't eat refined foods like white rice or white flour that don't have anything healing in them. So eating an apple is only part of the picture. What I didn't eat is just as important. I also ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. These foods have a ton of healing stuff in them, like vitamins, nutrients, and complex carbohydrates. I learned in class that complex carbohydrates, which are found in whole plant foods, are a lot healthier than simple carbohydrates, like those found in refined foods. So I eat mostly whole foods, like fruits and vegetables, not refined foods that come in cans or packages. How does this make me healthy? Well, many of my friends are kind of fat. Okay, they're very fat. Fat isn't healthy. But because I eat mostly whole foods, I'm not fat. Because I'm not giving my body anything to turn into fat, like all those calories or fatty foods. My body has the foods it needs to stay healthy and nothing more. So, when you see me eating an apple, don't just say, "Hey, Kim is eating an apple." Instead say, "Hey, look, Kim isn't eating sugary candies or foods with a lot of fat in them." See what I mean?
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com.
Welcome back. I am here with Don Noble, president of Maranatha Volunteers International. He's been president for 37 years, and Maranatha really started about 50 years ago, you were saying.
Yeah, 50 years ago. We're celebrating 50 years this year. It's hard to believe, actually. I've thought about it because I know a lot of the guys who were there at the beginning, the ones that are still alive, and you think about it, and you go, I will pretty much bet that they did not expect to celebrate 50 years.
Yes, you're right.
Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, 50 years in our thought process isn't quick.
You're right. And before we talk about your projects, I wondered how you embrace all the spinoffs, because there's other nonprofits now that are doing similar things. So do you have any contact with them or coordination with them?
You know, sometimes a lot of us know each other, and I never see any of it as competition. You know, God asks us to do what He asks us to do, and then He becomes responsible for the success of that as long as you're committed to Him. If He doesn't need us anymore, we close the doors. Okay, that's just fine. So it's not a matter of like in a business world, you'd be competitive against somebody else in the same arena. No, we don't see it like that at all. We just keep going forward and try to respond to the things that God asks us to do. And we've got plenty on our list. If somebody else, we can't do it all.
Amen.
So we could use more. We could use another 10 companies doing it. So
amen.
So it isn't competition.
Okay, so let's talk about the types of Maranatha projects that you do. I know that I have a list here, and maybe we can just talk about each one, and you can explain what it is. So
Okay. An
open team project, what kind of project would that be?
Well, of course, we're talking about the focus on volunteers here and the different types of volunteers that come. All of our projects aren't done with volunteers, but many of them are. And an open team would be anybody can go on the project. It's just open. Anybody can sign up. Go to our website, sign up for it. We'll give you information. We'll make it happen. You'll have a great mission experience. That's the idea.
Okay,
that's an open team.
So they would go to this website I mentioned earlier, maranatha.org, mm-hmm. and they could see an open team project. Maybe someone just wants a little adventure in their life, and they can sign up for it.
Well, it's more than just a little bit of adventure. We find that it changes people's lives. When they go out and they see what God is doing around the world and how he uses them.
Yes.
It's the first time in the history of the earth that people can go virtually anywhere and they can see it. They don't have to just hear it. They don't have to just watch a video or see a picture.
Yeah, and I think it would be much more meaningful than someone who is just going on a tour or going sightseeing. They're adding meaning to whatever country they're visiting or state or whatever project.
Plus it's a different deal when you go on a mission trip to a country than if you're just taking a tour to that country, because you're going to see all the best, the highest points.
Mm-hmm.
When they go on a trip with us, sometimes they see it the way it really is, and sometimes that's not very pretty. But they learn about the country, they learn about the people, they interact with the local people, and it can become really meaningful.
Now, an open team project, what requirement does that person have to have?
Well, it depends on the location, you know.
Okay, do they have to be a Seventh-day Adventist?
We do not require that.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that's changed somewhat with the onset of the Internet, you know. But we have seen some absolutely amazing things. Some of which I probably shouldn't even talk about because they might be listening. We've had a number of people go, large numbers of people go that aren't members of the church. And that's okay because there's all kinds of ways that God uses to reach people.
Right. And there might be a certain skill set that God is giving to mm-hmm. you through someone who didn't know. Even, you know, that they were going to be used in such a way.
Well, that's right. And it's good for the other volunteers to learn to be accepting of people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a bit of a challenge. You know, running a company like Maranatha, because it is a company, it's a ministry, but there's all kinds of different challenges. And one of them is all the different kinds of people that come together. Oh, wow. That can be really fun. If you want a nice challenge,
we
just finished a project called Ultimate Workout, where we had 111 teenagers in Kenya on a campus with 230 Kenyans in an extremely poor environment where those kids came from. And we merged them for 10 days working on a project on that campus. Now, do you want to run that project? Do you want to be in charge of that?
I'm exhausted listening to it.
It's absolutely phenomenal what happens on these projects, but it takes a lot of leadership.
Well, actually, now that you've said it, I would love to run a project like that.
Okay, sign you up. I heard that.
It has to be in the summer. And, of course, my husband has to come because he has all the technical abilities for building and electrical and plumbing. He has all that. I have all the, you know, I'm an educator, so I teach high school. So I have all the skill set for dealing with, and I love that age group. So, yes, okay, keep us in mind for the next time.
Okay.
Let's talk about the North America projects. Now, we are in a land of affluent. How could we possibly have projects?
Yeah, we've had actually more projects here than people realize. In fact, they're some of the most popular projects anywhere. There are people that don't want to leave the United States.
Yes.
They're afraid. And sometimes I think it's more scary here than some of the other places that we go. But that is how people think. And some folks have maybe an RV. and they travel from project to project to project, and they can be very helpful, and they form great relationships with other people. In fact, that the social side of these mission projects is a major important aspect of the project.
Yeah, I actually don't believe anybody should ever retire. They might, you know, retread into into doing something that's a volunteer, but they should never just, okay, I'm going to go rock in the rocking chair.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to keep going.
We've done a lot of projects from campus repair to camps to churches to school classrooms. And I'll tell you one of the things that I wasn't aware of until just recently, and it's becoming a major thing here in North America. There's a lot of different ethnic groups that do not have churches.
Yes.
In fact, North American Division just did a study that over 800 groups here in North America need churches. And I heard last night that it's even higher than that.
Wow.
And we have developed a plan for an economical church to help them.
Well, we're almost to the end of our show. I wanted to ask about how, let's say, a school wanted to do a mission trip, how they could partner or use the expertise of Maranatha.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of that. In fact, we have a whole section in our volunteer services area that deals with groups. That's all they do, is deal with groups. And so you talked about open teams. That's one aspect. Groups are the other, whether it's a church group, a school group, a family group, whatever
Even
you want it to be.
Even a home school association group, because
whatever.
I know homeschoolers also look for mission opportunities.
We've had singles groups. In fact, a lot of weddings have come out of Maranatha trips, by the way. It's surprising how well you get to know people in a short time. But, groups, we love to have the groups. A lot of them go. We can help them be organized because it's too much for them to first find their location, figure it out, work out all the details, and we do that all day long.
Yes.
So love to help them have a good experience. We want them to experience mission.
So we're coming close to the end of our show. I've been talking with Don Noble, president of Maranatha Volunteers International, and what a wonderful legacy. You've been there for 37 years, and you're still going strong.
Thank you.
And growing strong as well. What last words would you have for our listeners as we close out the show?
Well, you know, I would encourage people to maybe think beyond the involvement that they currently have or have thought was possible for them. God can do anything through people. We tend to do it mostly through mission projects. Some people think all we do is construction. Not true. When you go on a trip, there's a lot of other things that happen.
Yes.
Whether it's VBS, a lot of medical. Some people do traditional evangelism in connection with the projects. So you can go. Don't let your thoughts say, well, I'm not a construction person. Don't let them. Mm-hmm. Don't let that stop you. If you want to go and get involved and see what God's doing in other places in the world, get involved with us. It's a great experience. You might even meet some cool people.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And don't forget to check out the website, www.maranatha.org. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.